Now, Peter said, looking at his watch. I will lead the first group, you and you and you. He gestured to the old man and to the young people with their baby. Inga, he said. Anne-Marie realized that it was the first time that she had heard Peter Nielsen call her mother by her first name. Before, it had always been Mrs. Johansson. Or in the old days, during the merriment and excitement of his engagement to Lisa, it had been occasionally Mama. Now, it was Inga. It was as if he had moved beyond his own youth and had taken his place in the world of adults. Her mother nodded and waited for his instructions. You wait 20 minutes and then bring the Rosens. Don't come sooner. We must be separate on the path, so there is less chance of being seen. Mrs. Johansson nodded again. Come directly back to the house after you've seen the Rosens safely to Henrik. Stay in the shadows and on the back path, but you know that, of course. By the time you get the Rosens to the boat, Peter went on, I will be gone. As soon as I deliver my group, I must move on. There is other work to be done tonight. He turned to Anne-Marie. So I will say goodbye to you now. Anne-Marie went to him and gave him a hug.
But we will see you again soon, she asked.
I hope so, Peter said, very soon. Don't grow much more, or you will be taller than I am, little long legs. Anne-Marie smiled, but Peter's comment was no longer the light-hearted fun of the past. It was only a brief grasp at something that had gone. Peter kissed Mama wordlessly. Then he wished the Rosens Godspeed, and he led the others through the door. Mama, Anne-Marie, and the Rosens sat in silence. There was a slight commotion outside the door, and Mama went quickly to look out. In a moment, she was back. It's all right, she said in response to their looks. The old man stumbled, but Peter helped him up. He didn't seem to be hurt. Maybe just his pride, she added, smiling a bit. It was an odd word, pride. Anne-Marie looked at the Rosens sitting there, wearing the misshapen, ill-fitting clothing, holding ragged blankets folded in their arms, their faces drawn and tired. She remembered the earlier, happier times. Mrs. Rosen, her hair neatly combed and covered, lighting the Sabbath candles, saying the ancient prayer. And Mr. Rosen, sitting in the big chair in their living room, studying his thick books, correcting papers, adjusting his glasses, looking up now and then to complain good-naturedly about the lack of decent light. She remembered Ellen in the school play, moving confidently across the stage, her gesture sure, her voice clear. All of those things, those sources of pride, the candlesticks, the books, the daydreams of theater, had been left behind in Copenhagen. They had nothing with them now. There was only the clothing of unknown people for warmth, the food from Henrik's farm for survival, and the dark path ahead through the woods to freedom. Anne-Marie realized, though she had not really been told, that Uncle Henrik was going to take them in his boat across the sea to Sweden. She knew how frightened Mrs. Rosen was of the sea, its width, its depth, its cold. She knew how frightened Ellen was of the soldiers, with their guns and boots, who were certainly looking for them. And she knew how frightened they all must be of the future. But their shoulders were as straight as they had been in the past, in the classroom, on the stage, at the Sabbath table. So there were other sources, too, of pride. And they had not left everything behind.